Hey sis, I hope you're having an amazing day. I'm very excited to share a new episode of the worship series with you, with my friend, podcaster, songwriter, worship leader, and joy dealer, Winnie St. Ville. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to magnify Jesus over your circumstances, how to worship in spirit and truth, and she's going to share her amazing testimony of how worship anchored her in her time of need when she lost everything. So get ready to listen in and be encouraged. Welcome to the Sisters of Christ podcast. I'm Jeanette Bordeaux, your host. This is the podcast where you can come and have your faith stirred up and be encouraged by sisters like me and other amazing women that we have on the show who share advice and testimonies. Our hope is that you leave here more on fire for Jesus than you were before. Now get ready to be encouraged with today's episode. One of the scriptures, and so that I had for today was Matthew 15:7. Okay. Where Jesus is like breaking religious traditions. I'm in TV. He's just calling out the Pharisees and he's quoting Isaiah 29:13. See my footnotes. And he says, Isaiah described you perfectly when he said, these people honor me only with their words, for their hearts are so very distant from me. They pretend to worship me, but their worship is nothing more than empty traditions of men. And I was like, what? And then I love this actually following. It's like, then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, come listen and open your hearts to understand. And it talks about what comes out of your mouth. But this, I was like, man, what the heck are we going to talk about on this podcast? Worship, because you and I had like the best conversation ever. Just like literally normal talking for like an hour. And so I was like, okay, God, like, what do you want to do? And I felt like he gave me this verse. I love to just open up with that because you've been a worship leader for like how many years now?
Yeah, 10, 15 years.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Yeah. I like think about it. I'm like, I can't believe that came out of my mouth.
So I'd love for like your take on this verse and like what you've learned about like true worship.
Yeah, I love, it's like you see this in the word and you're like, thank you, Jesus, for always having the perfect thing to say. Like, you know, he's able to express in his word what you have in your heart, and being able to talk about just the idea of worship just being way more than this production entity that we've become. And although, like, you know, I get the production, it's really hard because I'm on both sides. Like, you know, I work in ministry and then also I love to just receive. So on one hand, I can really appreciate, like, I love what ministries do to put on conferences and gatherings so that we can worship. But sometimes you're just kind of like, can we just like move this out of the way, do this, get the cameras out of here? Can we just get closer and like, let's just go before the Lord, like get on our face before the Lord and just worship him for who he is. And it's like anointing is way more than, way more, it's beyond talent. And talent is something that the Lord, of course, he gives to us, but in order to glorify him and also to help your siblings, his children, also glorify him. I think worship, especially as a leader, I've had to grow and mature in understanding that when I'm leading worship, I'm not just leading worship for me. I'm not picking the songs that I sound amazing in. I'm not picking songs only I could play because I've been there. But I have to remember that the experience is to usher in people into encountering him. And so, I have to be convicted enough to only sing songs that I believe. And that's where when Jesus is talking about that in Matthew 15, he's like, yeah, you're singing this, but like your heart is so far from me. Cool, you sound good, but like, when's the last time we've spent time together? And it's crazy because also he talks about these man-made systems and like, you know, God bless CCLI and all of these people who get together in Nashville and write worship, but like, maybe we just don't need that. It's just also as precious to just grab your guitar and sing unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to worship him with psalms. Psalms are scripture. Hymns are biblical truths that we put melodies to. And then the spiritual songs are just what comes out of us, like when we worship him in spirit and truth, which is the perfect recipe for the fragrance that he loves. And when I like want to make something, like I love key lime pie. If you're gonna bring me a key lime pie, bring me a key lime pie. I don't want like a vanilla, you know, wafer. I don't want pound cake. Like bring me key lime pie. And spirit and truth is like Jesus's key lime pie. Like he's telling you the perfect recipe. Like, hey, if you want to make me something, these are my favorite ingredients. And spirit and truth, they're his favorite. And I really appreciate that it's spirit and truth and it's not flesh and feelings, because if I was dependent on my feelings to worship him, let me tell you, I would not be in church half the time. I would not, because I have to go beyond my feelings and flesh and feelings. Like we can't rely on that. That's what sets us apart from a lot of people who are in this place now, who are like deconstructing, or I'm an ex-evangelical. It's because you're just relying on your flesh and your feelings. I'm not denying that what you went through in your life was hard, but he says true worshipers worship him in spirit and truth. And both of those are beyond our ability to reason. So that tells me that worship is beyond my ability to reason. You know, I don't need 2 + 2 = 4 in order for me to worship God. I worship him because he's good. And that's the truth that I have to just depend on. That's what I have to fall on. So,
yeah, that is so good. Oh my gosh. I told you I was going to say that a lot. It's happening. You know, one thing you really hit on there, like not relying on your feelings and also like that reasoning, because I feel like a lot of people, like when you're coming into like a corporate setting, and I've experienced this too, it's like we're like worshiping, but yet we're struggling to connect our hearts.
Yes.
Right? Our minds are blocked, and we're like trying with our mind, but your heart, your heart is just like, you're like, what am I doing right now? Like, what is this is so annoying. Like, what do you, like, how do we get past that? I guess, like, more about like, I guess like get past the fact of like, or maybe this idea that like what it needs to look like, and then talk about more of like what's actually happening, like in the spiritual realm, like no matter what you're feeling or like whatever.
No matter. Jesus said in John 15 that the spirit of truth, that when he was endowing us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, he was saying that the Holy Spirit would be the spirit of truth that leads you to all truth. And so that's what we rely on to engage with Jesus, with our Father, and even through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is like our Wi-Fi signal, you know, it connects us to Jesus. And that's why he was like leading us. He didn't leave things to be riddles for us to figure out, and like math problems for us to have to do the calculations on. Like he listed it all. He said the spirit of truth would lead you to all truth. And us being like, we're a triune being that worships a triune God. So we're spirit, soul, and body. As little me, I'm spirit, soul, and body. And we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so our three parts of us, we have the ability, all three parts of us, to worship him. And our body is, you know, they have the seven types of praise. Our body, we're able to express our love for him through our body, through worship, which is amazing. David himself had danced. He was undignified. He danced unashamedly. I mean, he was basically naked, and his wife was so offended because she's like, "What's wrong with you?" And but that was all of the movements in his body, is because you can't help our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's where we kind of get like a little, we kind of flip-flop the order and how we should worship him, because I think a lot of people connect to soul worship, which is it's rampant in Western Christianity. Like Americans, like we just love soul worship. We love the worship that makes us feel good. Or we love the worship that tells us that we should feel bad for how awful we are, and that's why we need God. Because people are also writing those type of songs. And it's like, why? But so our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, we're able to take all of that being and worship him, but it's through the leading of our spirit. Through our spirit, we can connect with him, and that commands our soul. Like David said, like, I command my soul to bless the Lord, and that commands, it produces something in our soul to be like, okay, I know naturally right now things are looking really bleak, like I've been there, but then our spirit is like hanging on this hinge of God's goodness, and in it, like, that's why when we're swinging, we are able to come back, because like God, the foundation of God, and he is good, is what always brings, but it's our anchor, and it always brings us back to him. And so that spirit of truth that leads us to all truth, like we need that truth. I live for that truth. And he is truth. So even the ability for the Holy Spirit, always like the Trinity is always like in a circle, just honoring each other and always leading one to another, like never just honing in on ourselves. We have God the Father, who is ultimately, he's sovereign, he's Lord over all. And then he honors his Son, and his Son honors the Holy Spirit. And then we're back to square one. And because the Holy Spirit helps us connect to the Father. And so even Jesus being truth, truth is not like, well, I believe like Adam and Eve, the serpent was actually a snake. No, the serpent was this. Like, that's not true. Those are all cool. But truth is a person, and it's Jesus. And so whatever truth you believe is leading you to Jesus is usually a good place to start. And so having our spirit connect with that is a surefire way to have a worship experience that helps you engage with Jesus to where nothing else matters. And I think it was like this cliche quote that got popular in early 2000s about how you can't worry and worship at the same time. And the reason you can't do that is because like we're incapable. Thank God we are incapable of doing that at the same time. Either you're gonna worry or you're gonna worship. When you're in a church environment corporately, or just even in the room, and you're singing these songs about how good you are, God, I'm not worrying about my finances, I'm not worrying about housing, I'm not worried about like my family, I'm not worried about my health, I'm actually just singing about his goodness without nothing else mattering. Because worship is actually like how we see him rightly. That's really what worship is. And worry is misguided worship, because your eyes are on the wrong thing. Yeah. And I don't know, sometimes I have some really unconventional thoughts about worship, but worship is not just seeing God, but it's seeing him rightly. Because people see him, people connect with him, but if they see him rightly, that really engages something in your heart. People, even like I can go into public businesses, and like I'm from New Jersey, so they have this radio station called Star 99.1, and it's like this Christian station. And I could go into a business and go, oh, cool, they're listening to Star 99.1. Well, yeah, because it makes them feel good. But like they're not doing it because they're like, well, we need a worship environment. No, it just makes them feel good. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. Like, that's like a cool idea, your religion. Like, you know, you know, well, we'll just put this music on. And like, that's not them worshiping him. That's not them seeing him rightly. So that's what really like sets it apart, really like the difference. Wow. So yeah.
So again, that's so good. Because when you're, I was just like, wow. When you were talking, it really, I feel like you just hit it like so point on about like seeing him rightly. Because if our worship is like contingent on our circumstances, then we'll never like worship him, you know? It's like, oh, we would never worship. Like,
we would never worship. And we would like, be constantly in worry.
Yeah, and I feel like what you said, you're like seeing him rightly. So if we always see that he's good, it's like he's always worthy to be worshipped. There's always a reason to,
yeah. His
character doesn't change and he's the same. And I'm just like, wow, like when you said that, it just really, I feel like you really hit it on the head with that.
Yeah, it's the make or break for every believer. And I think even when we recalibrate, like I believe like in every part, every season of our life, like we go through seasons, and like I'm not the same worshiper, I'm not the same believer that I was 10-15 years ago. I was leading in youth group at that time. I'm not the same believer then that I am now. And it's okay to even like, yeah, we mature in our relationship with the Lord. Like Paul says, we go from spiritual milk to eating meat. And then sometimes people need to just stay on spiritual milk, but on the place that where we are with our maturity, like we get to grow. And so I think, what really accelerates us into seeing him rightly is always remembering to recalibrate what we believe. And some people call that deconstruction. I'm not one to really demonize deconstruction, because I think everyone at some point, like I had to deconstruct my faith from the 90s. Like we were taught some really crazy stuff in youth group. It was very turn or burn. And we were just like, there was like angry God theology that we had believed. And I was like, wow, I need to, I have to break this down. And really see what is it here that I believe. The problem with deconstruction is that a lot of people love to glorify that they're deconstructing, and I'm not impressed with your deconstruction. I'm actually more impressed with what you are reconstructing as you're rebuilding your faith. So, you know, when people are telling me, I'm like, yeah, get to the good part. So what do you believe? Like, don't tell me anymore what you don't believe and da 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 da. Like, what do you believe now? Now that you've had this time to reconstruct, let me hear what your faith is like. Let me hear what you believe. Deconstruction, there's no problem with deconstruction as long as the foundation of it is God is good. God is good and I believe dot, dot, dot. Yeah. So we have those seasons where we have to recalibrate our faith, like, and sometimes that comes in seasons when we face hardships. And when we face those hardships, it is that time that we have to really come to terms with what we believe. I know Brian Johnson of Bethel, he wrote this book, like When God Becomes Real. And he wrote that book because he was going through like panic attacks and all these things were happening in his life. And I didn't read the whole book, but he said that the title came from like at the time he was having a crazy panic attack and something just set him off and like his heart's palpitating, all the things. And he tells his wife, he's like, call the ambulance. And so the ambulance came and they're rolling him into the ambulance truck and his kids are all standing outside looking at him. And he takes off like his oxygen mask and he goes, guys, this is when God becomes real. And like for that is like, he's like, okay, well now I have to pull on this faith of what I've believed for all these years, or this faith that I've just started walking in, and really understand what it is I believe. That's why we really like through discipleship with new believers, I joke around that Christianity is not all rainbows and butterflies, but it's 'cause it's not. And that's okay because we have a good God. But when we are able to walk through life with these new believers, we can disciple them into knowing what it looks like when God becomes real in spite of dot dot dot. You know, I believe God is who he says he is. And David said in Psalm 103, I was just going to read Psalm 103. He said, this is the Passion Translation. He said, with my whole heart, with my whole life, and when with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the holy God, Yahweh. You are my soul's celebration. And how could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? You've kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. And you've healed me inside out from every disease. And so, like, that's David putting all his chips on the table when he's worshiping the Lord. He's like, I'm just going to give you everything. I'm going to pour it all out because you are good. Just for the sole reason that you are good. And that's enough. And I mean, Psalm 100 says we enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And so before, I know people like to knock the worship format nowadays. They're like, oh, everyone's got to start with a fast song and everyone's got to da da da. And it's like, yeah, but there's actually a reason for that. Before you go into anything, like before you want to even start your whole worship service, how about we just start with thank you? Is it okay that we start with thank you? And maybe some worship services will even just stay at thank you. And that's okay too. And the Lord, just a little bit ago, I was like just meditating on a word before, you know, we were chatting, and I was just thinking about Psalm 100, and I had recently been reconnected with my biological father. And so I text him every so often just to be like, hey, how's it going? Da da da, or stuff. And I'm thinking of him like as a dad, right? As a father. What type of relationship would I have with him if the only time I text him was when I needed him? Hey, you got like $200. Hey, do you have this? Hey, do you know anyone who could, like, and that's the only time I'm texting him. I wouldn't answer me. Like, if all, the only time that you like reach out to me is when you need something, then that's not a relationship. I'm just like a genie. I'm just I'm a coin machine to you. And so that's why we enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Before you even start with anything, just let's just sit in gratitude. Because when you sit in gratitude, maybe it doesn't matter that how much is in your bank account, because you're actually just remembering that a month ago you were lying on your deathbed and the Lord healed you from the inside out. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't matter that, you know, you had a relationship that failed, because God showed you months ago what it looked like for restoration to happen, and you didn't think that was going to be restored, and it was. So, like, entering into his courts with thanksgiving and praise helps us to see him rightly. And I only know that from my personal experience, because I was like in this, like, I think a year ago, I was fasting, and I would break every fast with communion. And I was like on day like 8 or something, and I'm doing communion. I did my little thing, and I'm like, I put the word away. And before I break communion, I'm like, oh God, and if you could this, and God, and if you could that, and God, if you could blah, blah, blah. And he was like, Winnie, can you put away the checklist for a second and just spend time with me? And before I'm even like just telling him my list of complaints or my list of needs, my list of wants, my list of, hey God, you got to fix these things. He was like, just spend time with me. And so I put away my agenda, and I just was like, yeah, God, I just love being with you. I do love being with you. And I do miss this time. And the fact that you care about just fellowshipping with me before anything else, like, I have communion elements in my hand, and you're not saying, well, before you take communion, are you right with me? Before you, have you confessed all your sins? Like, he just was, I have the elements in my hand, and he's like, just spend time with me. I just want to be with you. And yeah, that just helps me a lot. Like, remember to, it's okay to start with high praise when we enter into worship. It's okay.
Wow. Girl, I feel that with every bit of my heart. Every bit of me, I'm like, oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful. And like, I was like, how amazing it is that we serve a God who just like we can come to just to spend time with. And
yes, yes.
It's insane. I'm like, wow. Like, and there, that's just a reason to say thank you. Like,
yes.
Yeah. I'm like, you just want to be with us. Like, how great. You've already purchased everything, like on the cross. And I think it's like, I feel, because you were talking about like in the seasons for sure when you're going through hard stuff, it's like, it can be hard to get to that Thanksgiving place. We're often in the checklist like mindset. We're like, oh, we're like, okay, because you're just focused on all the things that are going on instead of like, oh, wait, I always have a reason to pray. And there was a scripture I was reading, like in Old Testament. I don't remember where it was.
Come on.
I don't remember where
it was. The old glory.
He was like, he said, I know it's where I Google. I'm usually on the podcast. I'm like, hold on.
Do it.
He says, he's like, they forgot. He talks about all the complaining the Israelites were doing because they forgot like what he had done for them.
Wow. And
that's something the Lord has spoke to me before. He's like, don't forget last week's like faithfulness or last week's like blessings. And I was like, oh, you're yes. Right, Lord. I was like,
yes,
all right. So even then it's like, I feel like if you're trying to search for things to be thankful for in a hard season, it's just like, thank him for all the things that he did in your last seasons that got you through where you're like at now. You know?
So good. Yeah.
Thank God I'm not where I used to be. Like,
yes.
I'm not the Christian I used to be. Like,
yes.
Hot mess. But God is so faithful. Like that's like a reason to praise his faithfulness.
His faithfulness. I made it to church. Like, I made it to, you know, my car or however means of transportation. Like, I was hungry to get into his presence and I was able to do it. Thank you, God. And it seems so silly to just thank him for the little things. But my friends even like laugh at me because like the silly things, I'll just be like, oh, praise God. Like, just out of conversation, oh, praise God. Oh, yeah, pull into that parking spot. Oh, there's a parking spot. Praise God. Oh, like, we're going to a restaurant. Oh, they have seating for us. Oh, we're being seated. Praise God. Like, it just kind of becomes, it's like a period to me. It's like exclamation point. Just, it's like at the end of every sentence. And, you know, it seems silly. Wow, you praise the Lord for a parking spot. Yeah, because if I'm able to thank him for the small things, I could be grateful for the big things too. So, like, let it be part of your language to just be thankful. Like, yeah, God, like, I'm kind of feeling heavy, but like, I'm here. Like, I'm here. I made it to church. I'm in a row. Like, my car worked. I got there. I had gas. I had enough gas, like, to get there. Like, and I know that when I leave your presence, I'm going to receive something because you are not a God who's on standby. You're not a silent God. I know that you're there. And so, right now, I may not feel like I may not feel like I'm prosperous. I may not feel like happy. I may not even feel like singing. Like, you know, you guys are leading songs saying you are good. And I may not even feel like singing that because I personally have not seen your goodness in this area. But God, I'm here. And like, minister to me as you can. The only way I will understand that you can, and the only way I can understand you. And so, and I think that's why everyone's like always like David, 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 because like we got to see David's rough life, his rough life from his upbringing, his rough life on the battlefield, his rough life as a king, and his rough life through his mistakes. And so, but that's why David is always somebody that we can look at. We have many other examples in the word too. Like Job always gets me. Like, it's always insane. Like, you know, yeah, what Job went through, but one of the craziest verses in the word is Job 1. Is in the first like chapter of Job when it talks about like how everyone like died, house burned down, da da da, all this stuff happened. And one of the last sentences it says, and Joel worshiped. Because like, what else am I supposed to do? You know, like, I don't know what's going on, but like, I know you, God, and all of the stuff that's happening in my life is real, but you're real also. And so I'm just going to go back to square one. And like, the last thing I knew was to worship you. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I'm like, after losing everything, boom, Joel worshiped the Lord.
Wow. What?
Yeah. And so, and of course, yeah, we like know David, and it's an incredible place to be. Like, I mean, I have like many names, like as a worship leader, like, oh, that's a happy worship leader. Oh, this is the barefoot lady, like that, all your stuff. And oh, you're always so much, so full of joy and all your stuff. And I'm like, well, this, you know, this joy, like Jesus paid for this smile. And when I lost my smile, I had lost everything. Like I had went through a season where everything in my life, I was like, what is happening? Everything in my life was turning to crap. It wasn't as like severe as Job, but I'm like, everybody has their season like Job where you feel like you're losing everything. And we can't belittle, like, you know, oh, well, your wife didn't die, so you don't know what Job's life was like. Well, no. You don't understand. It's not about who he lost or what he lost. It's about him losing. And so when you can connect with him in that area, you can also connect with him in his breakthrough. And so Job losing all these things, and he turned around and he worshiped. And in that season where I lost my smile, I like worship was all I had. And I didn't worship just so that the Lord could fix my life. I was worshiping because that was the only way I can connect with him, because I was like reading my Bible, I wasn't feeling it. Spending time alone with him, I wasn't feeling it. Even going to church, I was like lying to my friends. Like my friends, like this was like my heavy season of depression. And I was like lying to my friends, like my friends would invite me out and I was like, oh no, I'm good. Like I'm going to go so-and-so. But I was literally like at home, like on my couch. And like when I had moved from my like first apartment in Pennsylvania, after I moved to New Jersey, my couch had like an imprint of my body. Because I just was like always just laying there, you know, like I was so downtrodden and heavy and depressed. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm having so much fun. But I'm like home watching The Fresh Prince, you know. And so like I that in those seasons, like all I had was worship to connect with him through. And he brought me through it. But I was honest with him in that season. I was like, I think like my ex and I broke up. We were together for like 5 years. We were like going to get married, all these things, da da da. He like walked away from the Lord. My uncle passed away. I loved my uncle Pierre. Like he was amazing. My car, which was like my means of transportation, I had like a car that had an engine that seized, which every mechanic's like, that's the worst thing that could happen to your car. You might as well just count your car dead. And, and I was losing my job because the business that I was managing was owned by a church that decided, like, why are we even pouring money into this business? So they were like, let's just close down the coffee shop. And so all of that was happening at once. And I'm like, what is happening? Who put a hit on me? And I was just like, what the crack? And so I was like, Lord, I like need you. I need you. I need you. I need your presence. I don't only need you to make everything right now, but I just need you, because like, whom do I have in heaven but you right now? Who do I have here in my defense? And so, I turned to worship. And, you know, even before that season, I had a season where I was like facing like a lot of hardship in like, one of the churches that I was leading worship at. And I was like wrongly accused of something, and I like pulled away. And that was like, for me, like a lot of people have their reasons of like, oh, this is why I left the church. Like that wasn't enough reason for me to leave my relationship with the Lord. And I also like also was able to walk through that. And I mean, it was like hard stuff. Like even I went to my pastor and I was like, yo, like this is all the stuff that's happening in my life. And he kind of was like, well, what did you do wrong? Like, how did you get there? And I was like, okay, like at the time I needed a shepherd, and he couldn't even shepherd me. And so I'm saying, I'm just like highlighting all these things because I'm saying I know what it's like to not have anything and but only had the Lord, and it was enough. And worship led me to that place. And I was, and without worship, I don't know, like David says in the Psalms that like, I would have despaired, like had I not had the Lord, like, and then like some translations that even says dot, 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 because you know, like when you're texting someone and you don't even know what to say, so you just say dot, dot, dot. And David said, had I not had the Lord, like, you know what I mean? And for me, if I had not had the Lord, like fill in the blank, like who knows where I will be? I could have been a product of depression. I could have been a product of anxiety, but I chose to fight my way into his presence. Like I had to like go for it. I chose to like head down. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. And if I'm going to put on the International House of Prayer, I'm going to put on the International House of Prayer. If I'm going to put on Bethel, I'm going to listen to Bethel. I'm going to listen to some of these spontaneous worship sets. I'm going to listen. And I was listening to even like old Hillsong albums. Like I just needed to be surrounded in this environment where I was hearing people sing truth and hearing people sing about God's goodness that can point me to his goodness. And that's where I am with a lot of convictions that I have with today's worship, is like a lot of people are singing about themselves. A lot of people are singing about where they currently are. I don't want to hear about how awful your life is, or how downtrodden, or how you were a vagabond. I don't want to hear about all that because I had been there. I don't even want to sing about that because I had been there. I want to sing about his truth. I want to sing about who he is and who I am in him. I don't want to sing about old, like my old life. Who cares? Like that life is in the grave. I'm not going to dig it up. I just want to sing about his truth and his goodness. And I want to keep my eyes fixed on that. And so nowadays it's like, I want to keep my eyes fixed with like a lot of the music I listen to. They're just like songs that are just, it's like songs with the elements of the finished work of the cross. Right. And then it's the fact with the foundation of truth, of who God says I am, like foundation of identity. So like everyone has like their songs that they're connecting to. But if you're listening to me worship, to self-centered worship and self-centered problems worship, and then you're wondering why your situations aren't changing, it's like, well, because you're singing about your problems. You're singing about self. You're not singing about him. And in those seasons where I went through really, really tough things, like I wasn't even getting up from my couch. Like I had a really cute like bi-level apartment. My bedroom was upstairs. I didn't even want to go upstairs to my bed. I just was on the couch all the time. I had maggots in my fridge because I wasn't eating. Like food was molding, and you know what I mean? And like, if I did not have the Lord, like I would have despaired, like David said. And so that's why to me, it's so important. Cause like one of my friends recently was like, well, you don't have to be like a word police about everything. And I'm like, well, no, I don't have to be for you. But for me, I'm going to be really intentional about the songs I listen to. I'm going to be really intentional to the songs I sing along with. Even when I'm in church, like, cool, you can sing your little song. I'm just going to like worship the Lord with my own little spiritual song. And then when we're back on the same page, singing about who he is and not who I'm not. And then I'll meet you somewhere in the middle. But it's really important. It's really important as a songwriter, even as a musician, as a worship leader. Like, I'm not looking for the next sound. I'm not looking for something that even the songs I write, I'm not looking to reach the masses. I'm just looking for things with the melody of authenticity, like of who he is. Like that's where I am. And when we can get back into that place, I'm telling you, a lot of people will be led to breakthrough when they can listen and meditate on songs that are about his goodness, who he is, who we are right now in him, and the finished work. It will lead people, a lot of people, into breakthrough. My spiritual mom asked me like a couple months ago, I was telling her about like the worship movement, like just I was like, ah, it's just like not for me right now and all your stuff. And she's like, what do you mean? Like, there's so many good songs out there. She's like, you know, when you're feeling heavy and this, that, and the other thing, she's like, what song do you put on? Like, what, you know, tell me, like, there has to be a song. And I was like, I don't even think I have a song. Like, I appreciate a lot of music that's out there. But I don't have like a go-to song. If I'm in the car and I'm like cruising, I have go-to songs. Like I listen to John Mayer. That's my go-to song. But like if I'm like trying to like if I want to connect with the Lord, I'm actually just getting in his presence. And I may listen to someone like John Thurlow or you know like
Oh
Jay
my
Thomas.
gosh.
John Thurlow.
A song where he's like, don't forget. I was like,
Yes.
I've been listening to
Yeah.
him like crazy. I've not stopped. I love that song
On
so
YouTube. On
much.
YouTube right now, that's all he's singing. He's just there with his piano and he's singing truth. And like that's what I listen to. I don't really go to I don't have like a go-to song. I have like a go-to like maybe environment. I have maybe a set. Like I listen to like Jesus Images like sets or whatever. But I don't have like a go-to like
Images.
the
Dang.
yeah,
Dedicated
literally.
to
Well,
the
take you in. Take you in and no, and they're singing oldies, you know? And I'm okay with it. We've overcomplicated these songs, and even when I'm listening to some of these old songs that they're doing, I was like, wow, there was so much gospel in that song.
Wow.
There was so much gospel in it, and it's just so simple. It was like, you know, four lines, like a verse of just a really short verse, and then boom, chorus. And it's like just the Lord. And that's why I'm just like, that's just what I want to be fixed on. So I was like, I can't even tell you. I don't even think I have a song. Now I'm sure if I think about it later, I could be like, oh yeah, I like this song and I like this song. But it's not like I don't rush home when I have a bad day and I put on this song. Like, because you know, it's not about the song that's gonna connect me to the Lord. I'm gonna be in an environment to be like, okay, God, I'm gonna surrender this to you because I'm not sure what's happening. And maybe it starts in me before I even hear a melody come off of YouTube or my Spotify. Like maybe it starts in me and in my innermost being, like David said, like I can command my soul to bless the Lord, and my soul will celebrate who you are. And so my mind, my will, and my emotions, I will fix all that to confess this truth that you are good. And it may look bleak right now, but you're faithful. I know you're faithful because I've seen you in my past. I've seen the history. My history with you has testified to your faithfulness. And so maybe it's I don't have a good go-to song, but maybe I have a go-to truth, like that I'm like ministering to myself with. But that's really about it. And the last thing I'll say about like these unconventional thoughts that I have about like today's worship movement. Sometimes I like cringe when people are like, I put on worship because like that's my warfare. Like I put worship on and that's my warfare. My warfare is my worship and da 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 and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, worship was created long before there was warfare. And the reason we were created was like for worship. I mean, it says that I won't let the rocks cry out in my I won't let the rocks cry out. Like all of creation will groan and the rocks are crying out if we don't. The rocks aren't experiencing warfare. Like they're just rocks and creation. What warfare is creation experiencing? But it glorifies God. And so my thought is maybe worship a warfare. I guess what I'm saying is that like worship wasn't created for warfare. Anytime that you make worship about anything else other than God, then you've lost sight of why you're worshiping. And so we're not putting on songs so that because that's my warfare, let me put on my song and then get my flag and then that's my warfare. Like we worship him because he's good. David didn't worship the Lord because he won battles. David's battles were won because he worshiped. And so that's what David was focused on was God and who he is. It wasn't like, hey, go get the Levites. We need to worship and then we're going to win this battle. He knew who God was. Of course, we're going to win. God is good. He's faithful. Do you remember 2 weeks ago we fought the Philistines? We won. Like, you know what I mean? And so, and I know like a lot of people, like it's very cliche and it's very popular, but I'm just like, let's take worship and warfare, let's subtract it from one another, let's maybe separate the two and isolate them. And people, they do the warfare thing, that's cool, but like worship is worship. Worship is just fixing our eyes and seeing him rightly, and then our whole being, our spirit, soul, and body responds to that. And that's like, that's the only way I break it down for like worship teams and worship communities, is it's just the response to who he is. But our whole being has to connect with that and lead with your spirit. Everything else will follow. So lead with your spirit, let your spirit connect. And then if your soul's not feeling it, that's okay. Your spirit is leading the way. In spirit and truth, we're worshiping him. And so your soul will then follow. And then maybe like now that your soul has followed and you're like, yeah, actually God is good. Then your body starts to do something and it starts producing those different types of praise, where you're praising him with your hands, praising him with dance, praising him enthusiastically, exuberantly, you're praising him with a shabak, with a shout. And so, that's like how we position ourselves to worship him. And so, I could go on. You obviously know I can go on forever, but I
that's exactly why I wanted to interview you. I could listen to you talk forever about worship, honestly. I'm just like, oh my God.
Praise the Lord.
It's just so pure, you know. It's like everything, just so many keys. I was like, I feel like you could write like a little book for people on worship based on this podcast. Like, honesty coming from the Lord, like, you know, connecting with the spirit, like all these things. With him. And it's just like, yeah, I'm just so happy that you came on and shared all of it, because I think it's something that so many people need to hear. It just blessed me like crazy today. I definitely want to have you pray.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, King. We worship you. We love you. Can I first just tell you that? I love you, Lord. We love you. We're here because we love you. And I just thank you for your goodness and how you've sustained us all these years, and then some. And I'm grateful that even in Psalm 103 it says that your faithfulness is from generation to generation. And so I'm grateful and excited about our futures as you flood our lives with your faithfulness, with your grace, with your mercy, God, that it even will overflow into our families' lives. It'll overflow into our loved ones. It'll overflow into our workplace. Like, just being in a place of overflow, being in love and infatuated with you, Jesus. Thank you for capturing our hearts the way that you did. Thank you for keeping our hearts even now. And God, I even pray for someone who's listening, Lord, who just like, feels stagnant in their relationship with the Lord. I pray that resurrection life that is in their body will resurrect their heart to connect with you, Jesus. Would resurrect their heart to connect with you. I pray that you come to meet with them where they are. Meet with them in a place that only you know how to meet with them, God, and touch their heart and bring life to it. As you touch the woman who had an issue, the woman had clung to your cloak and pulled on who you were as the healer walking here on this earth. As that woman clung to you, would you touch this person's heart and revive? God, thank you that before you meet our needs, that we connect, that you are everything that we need. Lord, you provide, you protect, you deliver, you save. Jesus, we're just so grateful for who you are. And Father, we honor you, Lord of all, sovereign God, Our saving grace, God, everything that you are, Father, thank you that you love your children. You did not put us here on this earth to suffer. We're not here just to hold a place on this earth until you return. God, that you would connect with us and empower us to walk this earth and be light as you are light, to be holy as you are holy. And you empower us to do that. By the grace of Jesus, you empower us to do that. I just thank you, God, that you even now you're just pumping our hearts to beat again, pumping our hearts to beat again, Lord. And I thank you just for everyone who's listening, Lord. May their ears connect with what you want to say to them, Lord. I pray that they even hear my words and they connect with you rightly, God, and that they hear the testimony of how good you are, God. Faithfulness knows no end, and you give without measure. Your grace abounds. It abounds. Your faithfulness is just something not even that you do, but faithful is who you are, God. And so we honor you, King. We love you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, sis, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a ton out of it. And if you want to check out Winnie's music and connect with her on Instagram, check the notes of this show, whatever platform you are listening on. And if you know a sister who could benefit from this and really be blessed by this episode, share it with her. Share the love, and I will see you next week.